You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bage, host of The Entrepreneurs. For today's episode, we bring you part two of our feature on supporting artisans, where we'll meet Catherine Locke, who is co-founder and creative director of The New Craftsman. The brand works with a range of top makers from across the British Isles, curating and supporting their work, which is sold online and through its Mayfair showroom right here in London. Launched back in 2012, the brand works with designers and artisans making the best in furniture and lighting to art, textiles, and tableware. Previously, Catherine spent 15 years in product and brand development for British high street brands Sainsbury's and Habitat before traveling all around the UK starting in 2010 to find the best local designers and manufacturers, a journey that ended in the creation of The New Craftsman. Most recently, The New Craftsman teamed up with social enterprise and business incubator Cockpit Arts to launch an award aimed at promoting greater diversity in the world of craft, which will provide mentoring and financial support to up-and-coming talent, along with free studio space here in London. Here's Catherine now with the story of The New Craftsman.
The New Craftsman is a company that sells in the markets the works of very talented makers based in the British Isles. And its main focus is for crafted and curated interiors. And our collections range from furniture to lighting to beautiful artworks and textiles. So it's what you furnish and decorate your homes with and collect.
Well, very interesting for a Monocle audience, of course. That is always something that we are very interested in. But I'm just curious about the time we're in and how that sort of affects, obviously, the company and the brand. A lot of people are thinking very hard, especially out of the past year, about where they spend their money, how things are made, where they're coming from. Talk to me about how that sort of maybe reinforces what it's all about.
Well, it's really been absolutely fascinating for us in terms of our position in the market. I believe that what we represent is individuals. Each individual that we represent has a small business, and I think some people often think about artists and makers as being business people, but we certainly see them as being business people as well. They are people who are expressing themselves, so it's all about humanity, expression, imagination, and a creative output. There's a real sort of authenticity about what they make because it's a pure expression. They're deeply narrative pieces, so I always feel that lots of people who buy pieces from us and buy into the world that we represent are fascinated and seduced by the very rich stories and provenance, whether that is the maker themselves or the cultural context. They represent slowness, I guess. So we're not fashion-led, we're people-led. And we're slowness and, I guess, everything that isn't fashion, really. So it's not seasonal necessarily, unless it taps into the seasons of nature. And also, I think there's an integrity to the work of our makers, which is honed skills, which take hundreds and thousands of hours to perfect. And that means that when you purchase pieces or buy into craftsmanship, you're buying into something which is going to endure. And they're often pieces which you can hand down. So there is a question around sustainability and the fact that these are quality pieces which will last and endure. And I think that certainly the localism thing has been very interesting in these times, that we are finding that we are really supporting people who are on our doorstep because we haven't managed to stray much further than our doorstep. And it's really sort of enlightened us into what is available right around us. And that's a really enriching thing in your daily, your everyday life, I think.
Talk to me a little bit about the role of The New Craftsman in helping to get these products, these maker stories out there. Obviously, that may have changed or not so much in the past decade. What is the role and how has that sort of changed in the last little while, if at all?
Well, our goal was very simple. When we first set up 10 years ago next year, which is our 10-year anniversary, I think at that time, and it's amazing to see how things have actually adapted and changed, I think, within 10 years. At that time, craft was very much the poor relation to art. And the sort of places that you could find craft at that time either tended to be local, regional galleries and maybe organisations which had a charitable or social context to them. There wasn't very much in terms of commercial goals and makers and businesses with commercial goals in craft. There were also galleries which would sell sculptures and much more art-led pieces. But there's a sort of middle ground which we recognised was really needed, and that was a platform for makers who sold functional pieces as well as beautiful artworks. That a platform was needed which, as I was saying, was commercial but also done with great sensitivity and imagination and integrity. One of the things which I absolutely love about the market and the makers that I represent is the abundant creativity. You know, it's this sort of intangible energy that you get when you're surrounded by craft, or sorry, tangible energy. And I think that that was something that we really wanted to sort of infuse our company with and make sure that we weren't just about a white space with plinths, but really brought the soul of craft into our brand, but also shared it with our customers and encouraged them to integrate it into their lives. So that's what we were hoping to do at the time, and I think we probably hit the nail on the head. It was also a time 10 years ago when everything felt homogenised on the high street and also in the luxury world, but also at that time a very, very well established food movement, which people were really sort of, it had become every day. So, you know, going to farmers markets, looking at menus which talked about Gloucester Old Spot pigs, and you understand that language. Customers who were buying with a conscience and feeling good about what their purchases were. So there's this sort of feel-good factor when we know that we're buying into a world with these kind of values. And it felt like that would shift over into non-food as well. So that's something I think was happening at the time, but it didn't seem to be, people weren't buying non-food really so much with that ethos. And then what started happening over the 10 years was that I noticed that the individual consumers were shifting, I guess, as media got behind these movements particularly, and as individual interesting brands started popping up.
You know, one question I would like to ask, the showroom, I wonder if you could just talk to me about that and what that has meant for you and if that will be important as well moving forward.
So the showroom is this very, very beautiful space, which actually very weirdly used to be a breech making atelier right in the heart of Mayfair, parallel to Oxford Street. And to me, whenever I go in there, I feel like I'm stepping into a parallel universe. You know, you've sort of got the Oxford Street in its mass market, homogenized marketplace. And then you step into ours and you can, there's this tangible sense, again, sensory experience. You smell the craft. I see people completely relax when they come into our space. You know, it's to see texture and colour and these amazing wibbly wobbly forms and all the individual personalities, and then to hear about the stories and to imagine them in your own life and your own world, or how you might work with these makers, and then to be able to have conversations over a nice cup of tea with wonderful Nicholas, who is our showroom manager. It's an incredibly enriching experience, and I think it's one of the most beautiful shops in London, personally. But I would encourage people to find out for themselves.
Very well said. I'm curious about what the role is for you guys moving forward. Obviously, you play a very important part in growing the brands and businesses of those makers that you do represent. But how do you see that moving forward? Is it more about that narrative you talk about on tying nice story to how things are made and where they come from? How do you envision that, and how do you see that moving forward?
It's about helping the makers as businesses to grow and bringing in these links, market and maker, and really forging these new channels. So whether it be the small hotels, whether it be interior designers, so we have a trade side to what we do. And obviously we fill some beautiful homes with craft. We encourage more and more customers to commission our makers, so have something made for you, and then we will look after the process of the actual development of your dream project with the maker. So we've had some really interesting commissions, and that's both individual private clients coming to us with what they need, but it's also through an interior designer as well. So I think that's a really interesting thing which can only grow and grow. It's a little bit of a leap of faith for some customers who've never been used to commissioning things. We're so used to sort of walking into a shop and buying something which is in front of us. And what craft allows is for you to put your own wishes and desires and maybe even aesthetic stamp on something.
Catherine, just lastly, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate learning about this. Just talk to me about how the journey has been for you as creative director and just working with all of these different people to help tell their stories, to help grow their businesses. What's that meant for you in your career, and how does that help your purpose as well?
Oh, wow. Well, it was a complete life change for me, and I was fulfilling a dream. I was very, very lucky, I think, that I, for a long time, whilst working on the high street, so before I started The New Craftsman, I was a product developer for high street brands like Habitat, and right at the end of my career on the high street for Sainsbury's. But I always had this sort of burning desire to look at things with this deep sense of narrative and authenticity and humanity and imagination. It was always there. But it was about being given an opportunity in life to actually step off that path, which in my case was redundancy, and to say, right, I'm going to do it, was just invaluable. And I think that the whole thing has taught me that if you're lucky enough to have a passion and you can visualize what this thing is, then you can make anything happen in that way. So it's completely changed my life. And the wonderful thing about the craft world is that it's not just about the object. You know, the object is the final thing which represents all of these things that we've been discussing. So that is being massively, massively informative and humbling and nurturing for me. And I'm just really grateful for that and all the people that I've met along the way.
Very well said. Catherine, thank you so much for this. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Catherine Locke, co-founder and creative director of The New Craftsman. My thanks to Catherine for sharing her story. You can learn much more about the makers they work with at thenewcraftsman.com. And you can see their beautiful showroom here in London, just off Oxford Street in Mayfair. Thanks as well to Christy Evans, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.